Chapter 47. Tia couldn't stop looking at her bloody hands. Half under her breath, she said, "Wasn't right."
"Huh?"
Kip asked. "What we did. That wasn't right," she said. She looked up at him and felt shame cover her like a snowdrift blowing off Hell Mount itself. She said, "I murdered a man." The safe house where they'd gathered wasn't even a house. It had been a chicken coop built onto the side of a cooper's shop. None of them knew when the Blackguard had acquired the place, but it had been walled off from the coopers, had a few tools propped up around the low front door, and was made to look like a shed. Inside, the ground had been excavated to make the single room far bigger than looked possible from the outside. Half a dozen bunk beds, three high, lined the walls. A stove cleverly piped to share the cooper's chimney rested on one wall. Stores of food and weapons and clothing took up most of the rest of what little space there was.
We killed a man, Kip said.
Oh, what difference is there? He's dead. I messed up.
We're warriors, Tia, Kip said like she was being stupid.
That's what all this is for.
I know, she said.
She looked around at the rest of their squad. She shook her head. She was letting them down. She should just shut up.
Doesn't matter. I'll be fine.
Can you throw me the fucking towel already, Fekudi?
You'll get it when I'm done, bitch,
Fekudi said. He was usually good-natured, but when he wasn't, he was an ogre. Kip moved faster than Tia would have believed he could. He grabbed Fekudi by the front of his tunic in both hands and lifted the young man off his feet and slammed his back against the wall.
That's my partner, he said. That's your squad mate. I know you're shaken up, but don't.
Fekudi's feet weren't even touching the ground, and Fekudi was one of the biggest boys in the squad.
Holy shit, Kip was getting strong.
Kip released him.
Towel, please.
Fekudi handed the towel over, looked away.
Sorry,
he grumbled.
To her.
Sorry to you, he rumbled. Didn't mean to be such a flesh protuberance.
I'll take it out of you in training, Tia said. She hit him in the arm, not too gently, but she was glad he'd apologized. She liked Fekudi, but that had infuriated her, and she didn't have it in her to take him down a peg herself, not right now. Kip handed her the towel. You were saying? She took the towel angrily, which he didn't deserve, and she knew it, and it made her angrier.
Get off it, Breaker. You're not my father.
It wasn't fair. She'd felt gratified that he'd come to her defense, but she was suddenly just so angry, so close to tears.
No, but I've killed men. Spit it out.
Tia began wiping her hands off, stared firmly down at the towel, her hands, the task.
What if they have a point? The blood robes, I mean.
To hell with them, Winston said. Kill them all. Let Orholm sort them.
Tia had heard similar statements before, but they'd been boasts. Childishness. With Winston, it didn't seem like a put-on.
No, Kip said. Tia, of course they have a point.
What are you saying?
Cruxer asked, speaking up for the first time. He'd been content to let his squad work through things themselves, but Tia could tell he didn't want the conversation to veer into heresy.
No one's saying the Chromeria is perfect, Tia. There's a price for law, and we see that all around us. The Chromeria has power, and in places, it abuses its power. Welcome to the human race. Lawlessness has a price, too. I grew up in Tyria, the closest thing to the kind of lawless paradise that the blood robes hold forth. Tyria is a lot of things, but paradise?
Kip gave a derisive snort.
Think about the Blackguard. Think about its leadership. Commander Ironfist may be the best man any of us know. Watch Captain Blade Man, a good, good man. Not very imaginative.
Breaker, you can't,
Cruxer began, but Kip ran right over him.
Of course I can, Kip said. We're Blackguards. We're not afraid of the truth, remember? Not very imaginative, but dutiful, hard-working, loyal to a fault. An excellent second-tier leader. We lost Watch Captain White Oak, obviously, but she was totally capable too. Watch Captain Tempest, bookish, but clever, better in charge than in a charge, but competent. Watch Captain Beryl. She's a little too friendly for an officer, but good. Blunt? Not quite friendly enough, but again, good. Then I look at the squads above us, and for the most part, I admire them. I look at us, and we're the best I can think of. Am I right, Captain?
It's why I gave up my promotion, Cruxer said quietly. Half of it, anyway.
Tia and the squad knew the other half. It was the same as theirs. Lightbringer.
What's your point? Tia asked Kip.
Kip said, if Cruxer hadn't been willing to risk throwing away his own career, Aram would be in this squad right now. He was a rat, and despite all our good leaders, he was this close to getting in. Maybe he would have been discovered before he made full blackguard, but with how undermanned we are, I doubt it. He probably would have taken final vows within a year's time, and that's with the blackguards doing almost everything right. Even with us, let's be honest. Some of those who have made it in aren't squeaky clean. Some of us, even us inductees, have had blackmail or bribes tried on us. Why? Because we're powerful, and we're going to be more powerful soon, because we have what others want. Some of us stumble, and some of us are downright rotten, despite every advantage, right? I mean, we're respected, we're paid well, we have all we need, we have extra attention paid to us, we have the best the Chromeria can give us, and we still have weakness and venality and betrayers among us.
It's not that bad, Fakudi said.
Yes, it is, Kip said. You just don't want to face it yet.
No one's tried to bribe or blackmail me, Fakudi said.
Fek, Kip said, exasperated. It's because they think you're too dumb to bribe and too unpredictable to blackmail or too apt to talk to be charmed. They're wrong on the first count.
Fakudi blinked like a dog whose nose had been swatted.
But Kip went right on.
But that's not the point. If a group with a small size, the wealth, the good leadership, and all the advantages of the Blackguard can have its members go bad, how could we possibly expect a group that's so much larger and more powerful and spread out over all the satrapies with poor leadership in some areas to be more virtuous than we are?
You mean the Chromeria? Tia said.
I do.
I expect it because they made vows before Orholm,
Big Leo said, speaking up for the first time.
Because they are Orholm's hands on Earth. They shouldn't fail that kind of a holy trust.
No, Kip said, they shouldn't. Men and women should never violate their oaths.
But they do,
Fakudi said. Bless him, always stating the obvious. But then, sometimes the obvious benefited from being dragged out into the full glare of the light.
The Blood Robes are liars leading naifs, Kip said. They don't want to live up to the oaths they took that when they became a danger they'd end themselves. They're afraid and unfaithful, so they say their vows don't count. They want to lord their power over others, so they say the Chromeria unfairly lords its power over them. The Chromeria says that every man is equal in Orholm's sight, that our powers and privileges make us the greater slaves of our communities. I don't admire Magister Cudder, but she's right about that much. On the other hand, the Colour Prince says drafters are above other men by nature, and at the same time talks about abolishing slavery. Tell me, if drafters are above other men by nature, why would you abolish slavery?
Silence reigned for a few long moments.
Because he needs an army, Cruxer said. And coming from Tyria, he had to pass the mines at Lorien and the tens of thousands of slaves there.
To divide your enemy, Delos said. Armies afraid of what their own slaves will do when they're gone won't go far from home. Understand that everything the Colour Prince does, he does for power, and you'll understand everything he does, Kip said.
It can't be that simple, can it? Tia said. If so, how come you see it and no one else does?
Because I'm a bad person, so I understand how bad people think.
What the hell did he mean by that? Was he fishing for compliments?
But Kip was still speaking.
Don't judge a man by what he says his ideals are. Judge him by what he does. Look at what the Colour Prince has done. They're wrong, Tia. They're liars and murderers. It doesn't mean everything we do is right. It doesn't mean our house doesn't need a thorough cleaning. I just don't think we need to burn it to the ground to do it.
Fakudi nodded his head.
My folks had a saying, the fact your dog has fleas is no reason to open your home to a wolf.
My dad used that one too, but he said wife, rash, bed and whore, Winston said.
Goss said,
a lesson he had to learn the hard way, no doubt.
Fakudi laughed with them. Then he said,
I don't get it.
It's one of those things, Firk, Goss said.
Where if you explain it, it doesn't work?
Fakudi asked. He was familiar with those.
Flesh protuberance.
Worst swear ever. Second worst, maybe. For a while he'd used proboscis.
You think it's that simple, Breaker? Tia asked, ignoring the boys.
In the False Prisms War, Gavin's generals ordered the burning of Garriston. It was stupid. It was wrong. Horrific. The fires spread, and they killed scores of thousands. It wasn't strategy. It was vengeance for what happened in Rue, but far worse. But Gavin had to win the war, and after he won, he couldn't punish those who did it, though I'm sure he wanted to. They said, and maybe they even believed, that what they had done was necessary to win, so he gave them medals and showed them the door. Not one of those involved in burning Garrison is here on the Jaspers anymore. You think that's a coincidence? Those men are no longer in any position where they could do something like that again. Was what Gavin did once the deed had been done good? No, but it was the best thing possible.
And this? Tia asked, showing her still bloodied hands and the bloody rag that wouldn't get the stains out completely. This is the best thing.
Kip stared her hard in the eye. He took the towel in his own clean hands and smeared blood first on one palm and then on the other.
Not the best thing, Tia.
The best thing possible? 1,000 times yes.
And staring into his eyes, she believed him. It was a damned thing, war, but she wasn't damned for fighting it. It shifted her burden only a little. Not much, but enough. 20 minutes later, after the squad had cleaned up, after Cruxer had debriefed each of them in turn, they formed up at the door of the safe house to go back to the Chromeria together and report. It was obviously a duty Cruxer wasn't relishing.
Tia, Cruxer said, up front.
Huh?
You're my number two now, first sergeant.
Tia looked at Ferkoudi, whom she was displacing. He didn't look angry.
The promotion was my idea, Tia, he said. We froze up out there.
I froze up.
You deserve it.
Deserve it? She'd gone crazy out there.
She didn't trust herself to speak, so she simply took her new place.
What about Breaker? She asked.
Breaker is Breaker, Cruxer said. He doesn't fit exactly in the chain of command. When it's time to listen to him, we listen. The rest of the time he listens to us. Fair, Breaker?
Kip looked bereaved but resolute.
So it begins?
He asked Cruxer quietly. Tia had no idea what they were talking about.
It began a long time ago, Breaker. Cruxer said. The only question is if you fight fate or try to steer it.
Fate? Kip asked. You're the one who gave me the name Breaker in the first place.
Oops, Cruxer said, a wry grin.
Fair enough, Captain. I'll take the half step to the outside. I wanted this more than anything, though. You know that, right?
I know what it is to want the impossible.
His mouth twisted, and Tia knew he was thinking of Lucia.
Kip said, You're the best of us, Cruxer, in every way.
Don't you dare die, you understand?
Meh, I'm invincible, Cruxer said. Now let's get back, double time. Let's see if we can work some more of this off.
He poked Kip in the belly and they both grinned.
Boys.
How Tia loved them both.